Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. This is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's a show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help you cope with and deal with and better understand the events of the past week and the upcoming week and, all of eternity, if at all possible. Try to do our best on all counts. Welcome back. We're watching the Derek Chauvin trial. Actually, we're not watching it. We're not watching it, but many, many people are. That's the big news. The big story of the week is Derek Chauvin on trial in the tragic, sad death of, George Floyd, I believe was his name. Well, we'll get to all of that. But first, let's start with some good news because, you know, it can be kind of depressing out there, especially these days in the midst of a global worldwide pandemic. A lot of bad news. So let's start out with some good news from the death penalty file. Alcy Hastings is dead. That's right. You remember Alcy Hastings? Yes, he's extremely attractive audio engineer. No? You don't remember Alcy? Fox News calls Alcy Hastings a civil rights activist known for breaking down barriers, is what Fox News calls him. They go on to note that he was a federal judge impeached and removed from office on counts related to bribery, perjury, and tampering with evidence. You notice that Fox News said that he was impeached and removed from office on counts related to bribery, perjury, and tampering with evidence. Actually, he was charged with bribery, perjury, and tampering with evidence is what he was charged with. And however the legal machinations worked out at the end of the day, it allowed him to establish some plausible deniability in that I was only convicted of counts related to the bribery, perjury, and tampering with evidence of which I was accused. Anyway, Alcy went on after being removed from office on counts related to bribery, perjury, and tampering with evidence. He went on to win a seat in Congress that he never relinquished. He was in the midst of serving his 15th term in the Congress, and he died with his snout still firmly planted below the rim of the public trough. And good riddance to a race-hustling crook. That's right, the death penalty file. Everybody gets it, Alcy, including you. God is merciful on all of us in that wicked, evil, corrupt, tyrannical men like Alcy Hastings eventually die and get out. That's right. I know, good people die too, but there are really no good people. I read a funny post on Facebook. I can't remember where it was. I don't go to Facebook anymore, so it wasn't there. Anyway, it was the question, why do good things happen? I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Why do bad things happen to good people? And somebody posted, well, that only happened once. Which I thought was pretty good. Because there really aren't any good people. Present company accepted, obviously. No, not really, actually. Okay, let's go on to the... We'll jump quickly into the science... Really? File. Where we go to CDC Director Rochelle Walensky. We want to pronounce that properly. Rochelle Walensky. Does anybody remember this person? I remember her. She is now the director of the Centers for Disease Control. Rochelle Walensky, a medical doctor, one of the chief hysterics and authors of the Panic of 2020. So have you ever gone to your doctor and you have something going on and you're not sure what it is? And maybe you're a little bit scared, right? You got a medical condition, you're not sure what it is, you go and you see the doctor. The last thing you want the doctor to say is, is, Well, that's like the second last thing you want. Never seen anything like that before. No, you don't want to hear that, but you do not want to hear the doctor say, have you ever been standing in a tunnel looking at an oncoming train? No, doctor, I haven't. Well, that's kind of what this is, this lesion thing that I found. Anyway, that's exactly what Rochelle Walensky said in an interview at the very beginning of the panic. And this is one of the reasons I was so suspicious of the whole thing, was I had never heard public health officials encouraging people to freak out and panic before. And that just struck me as disingenuous. Because normally, if things are going to be catastrophic, the governing officials are doubly cautious to not cause a panic. But they weren't. They were all wanting to cause a panic. Rochelle Walensky at the head of the list. She was, I think she worked at Boston, Massachusetts General Hospital. And she basically gave an interview, a hysterical interview, where she compared the oncoming pandemic to a train in a tunnel. Anyway, I remember. And now she's the head of the CDC. Anyway, and this has nothing to do with any... Well, actually, I think it all does, actually. She has now declared, according to the Gateway Pundit, CDC Director Rochelle has declared racism a serious public health threat. Threat, she says, not yet a crisis, but just give her time. Because she's hysterical. She's a professional hysteric, and she's a head of the CDC. She says the COVID-19 pandemic illuminated inequities that have existed for generations and revealed an epidemic impacting public health. Racism. That's it, racism. Let's see here. Now, here's I've got a quote from Director Rochelle. Chief Hysteric, Rochelle Walensky. She says, what we know is this. Now stop right there, Rochelle. How dare you imply that anything can actually be known? What about those who don't know? Are they to be disadvantaged because they don't? Are you accusing some people of not knowing, Rochelle? And are you assuming that you can actually know? Because I thought the one thing that people like you have helped establish, Rochelle, is that we can't know anything and that we should just be frightened. But she alleges that something is known. And here's what she believes or alleges is known. Racism is a serious public health threat that directly affects the well-being of millions of Americans. Wait a minute, Doug. Rochelle is a Jewish woman from an extremely white part of Massachusetts. How come you're doing your Chris Rock voice? I don't know. I can't help it. Whenever one of these race hustlers starts with this, I always break into the, I don't know, like somewhere between Chris Rock and some character in a bad Spike Lee movie or something like that. I just can't help myself. That's what, as a result, now listen up. This is what we know. As a result of this serious public health threat, we know that it affects the health of our entire nation. Not just based on the color of the skin or the race or ethnicity, but structural barriers that impact racial and ethnic groups differently to influence where a person lives, where they work, where their children play, and where they worship and gather in community. These social determinants of health have lifelong negative effects on the mental and physical health of individuals in communities of color. Unquote. That's Rochelle Walensky. So the head of the Centers for Disease Control, chief hysteric and panic monger of 2020, is now spewing outright Marxist propaganda from the highest reaches of the American government. The highest reaches of power in the American government are now spewing Marxist propaganda. I'm telling you, folks, the Republic is in trouble. Should I quote any more from Spike Walensky here? With COVID-19 funding, we are making new investments in minority communities, establishing a durable infrastructure that will provide the foundation and resources necessary to address disparities related to COVID-19 and other health conditions. Not just COVID. We got us a never-ending race hustling slush fund going here. Honey, that ain't gonna stop. We're going to launch a new web portal. That's right. It's a catalyst for public and scientific discourse around racism and health. Huh? What? A public and scientific discourse around racism and health. Just utterly meaningless drivel from highly paid bureaucrats who, when given the opportunity, will murder 100 million people. Rochelle Walensky, if given the opportunity, will murder 100 million people. Future tense. All right. Meanwhile, from the insurrection file, just in case you were wondering, the riots in Portland never ended. The Marxist riots dressed up in racism in Portland, Oregon, never ended. Just last Saturday night, police and protesters, this is according to the Epoch Times, they say police and protesters faced off outside the ICE building in Portlandia. Agents used pepper balls in an attempt to disperse the crowd. You know why it was just an attempt? Because they used pepper balls. You know how you disperse a crowd of rioters? With shotgun blasts. But no, we're going to tolerate a certain level of riotous behavior, apparently indefinitely, in Portlandia. Let's see here. Video footage showed... I love how they report this. I wonder if the Epoch Times authors actually wrote this, or did they just copy this from the AP? Because this is embarrassing. Video footage showed a small fire. Individuals were then seen placing wood pallets on top of the small fire. Many windows were smashed. Okay. The fire, maybe it was just a small... It was an attempt to set it on fire. The fact that it was on fire was just an attempt to set it on fire. And by the way, it was just a small fire. Not that big of a deal. All right. Meanwhile, from the Black Lives Matter file... A corporate entity controlled by Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice has purchased a $1.4 million compound in Topanga Canyon near Los Angeles. This purchase has raised some eyebrows among BLM supporters. Just, it's raised some eyebrows. You know, those black tape eyebrows, those electrical tape eyebrows, some of them are being raised. Huh? Some girls from the hood are like, what you talking about, Topanga Canyon? Come on now, that's the whitest neighborhood on earth. Nothing but a bunch of anorexic pale witches and queers up in there. What you buying a house up in there for, sister? But she did. Her name, let's see here, Patrice. Patrice what? Patrice Con Colors. I don't know if she's married to a man, so I don't really want to put the... And by the way, how come she puts her husband's name in the middle? Whatever. She founded Black Lives Matter back in 2013, following the shakedown and race hustle surrounding the death of one Trayvon Martin, if you recall. She describes herself and is described by other sycophants as an artist, organizer, and freedom fighter. And her organization took in approximately $90 million in 2020. Oh, that's why she up in Topanga Canyon. Girl made $90 million. She ain't even got no record contract making some $90 million. According to reports, it is not clear if or how Patrice is paid by the Black Lives Matter organization. But apparently she's paid. Because she bought an estate, a compound, up in Topanga Canyon. The purchase is being viewed as hypocritical by some, although this is from Biz Pack Review. I'm not sure who this is. BizPackReview.com. They say the purchase is being viewed as hypocritical, but the authors need to be reminded that Marxists are not capable of recognizing hypocrisy, nor are they capable of accusing anyone of hypocrisy legitimately because they recognize no moral authority. I mean, save the barrel of a gun, you know, or depending on where you are, maybe a small fire. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. That was the there were no guitar solos back, you know, after that. They just stopped doing them,
yeah,
apparently.
They start wearing
the yeah. Police and governing officials there in Topanga Canyon are preparing. Obviously, there is a fear that there could be a number of working class white Republican Christians who might go and riot there in Topanga Canyon and try to burn down the compound of Patrice Cullors there, her new house. But law enforcement is on high alert, ready, just in case. Bunch of MAGA rioters. Jeez. There could be an insurrection in Topanga Canyon. I was in Topanga Canyon right before the lockdowns. It's quite breathtaking. If you ever get a chance to drive through it, I recommend you do so. And that's about all I got to say about that. All right. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to remind everyone that the founder there at Black Lives Matter, Patrice, and her ideological counterpart, I forget her name, but there's like three of them. Three high school dropouts who got degrees in, communications from various universities. I mean, they were technically high school dropouts, but they were allowed to graduate with high honors. They claim that we are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories. That's Alicia and Patrice. They have called for the destruction of the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement. And they said prescribed, not proscribed, because they're illiterate. Anyway, we'll just move on from the decline, fall, and collapse of Western civilization as organized and authored by the likes of Patrice Cullors and Rochelle Walensky. And all of them. Move on through the insurrection file where in Salt Lake City, two sheriff's deputies were shot in the head and face and neck there in a shootout Saturday morning outside the county jail right there in Salt Lake City. The county sheriff, Rosie Rivera, I didn't make that up. No, this isn't a Pepe Le Pew or a Speedy Gonzalez cartoon. The sheriff of Salt Lake County is Rosie Rivera, that's all. And when there are no men who will stand up and be brave and do right and ensure justice, then people like Rosie have to come along and try to do their best. Rosie says, we do believe that the more seriously injured deputy is going to survive. That's just the ongoing insurrection continues. Meanwhile, the New York Post reports that two brothers, Farad Tawheed and his brother Tanvar, killed everyone in the family and then themselves in Allen, Texas, which is the it's the epitome of like out there in the country where bad things don't happen like that. Both brothers attended UT in Austin, Texas, and battled depression. We don't know if the two things were linked, but they slaughtered their entire family and themselves. That was the other mass shooting this week. Oh, no, that was the other mass shooting. There was also the one in where was this other? Bryan, Texas. Again, the literally out in the country where bad stuff just doesn't happen like that. An employee of a cabinet store just came to the company headquarters and started shooting people. Killed one, wounded five or six, last count. That was Bryan, Texas, from the Domestic Tranquility File. And then there was the main mass shooting of the week. As things returned to normal, as we pointed out last week, things returned to the normal level of mayhem and mass murder that we all were used to before the global worldwide pandemic. And to freak out and flip out and all of that. The headline mass shooting, those other two were kind of like the opening act mass shootings. The main stage mass shooting last week was carried out by former NFL player Philip Adams, who for no apparent reason massacred a doctor, his wife, and two of their grandchildren, and a couple of maintenance workers who just happened to be at the house. We don't know why. This guy went just ballistic and just slaughtered all these people. We don't know why. But he went to this doctor's house and shot him and his wife and the grandkids and maintenance workers. The New York Post goes through the horrible, terrible, awful details of the massacre that took place. And then at the end, they say Philip Adams later died by suicide as police surrounded him. He is believed to have killed himself. Oh, it's nice that they used the term killed himself. Look at that. How did the editors let that one slip by? He is believed to have died by suicide. So now everyone is concerned with the mental health of the mass murderer. I suppose that's to be expected. We move from there into the Gen X file. That's right, Generation X. Talking about my generation. Rapper DMX passed away Friday following a drug overdose that left him in a vegetative state. He died on April 2nd. He was 50 years old. He was born, according to Page Six at the New York Post, rapper DMX was born Earl Simmons and apparently always identified as male. How do we know that? Well, he fathered 15 children while actively identifying apparently as a male. Because back in the day, rappers generally identified as male. As corrupt and deviant and destructive to the health of Western civilization as rap music and the purveyors of such things has been, it at least identified as staunchly male and heterosexual. Now that's all open to question now, but DMX did identify as male. Let's see, in 2020, he gave an interview on a podcast where he talked about being given crack cocaine for the first time at age 14 by his mentor. Now, he grew up in a pretty rough part of town because his mentor gave him crack after the two had committed a robbery there in Yonkers. Listen to this. DMX's first brush with the law was in 1986, where he was arrested for stealing a dog from a junkyard. Okay. He obviously identified not only as a male, but a very tough male was Mr. DMX. Anyway, DMX recently became a Christian and said that he praised God and said that there's nothing that God can't get me through. That's a quote from DMX. Shortly before he passed away, he said, "There is nothing God can't get me through." And he's right about that. DMX, only God can get him through what he's going through right now, which is life after this brief, sad experience on this plane. Anyway, DMX to me is a fine representation of my entire generation, plagued as we are with substance abuse and mental health problems and all of that. And only God can get us through this. I happen to agree with DMX on that. And I hope that his conversion to Christianity was sincere. And I see nothing to indicate that it was not. And it is tragic and sad. I know there are some of his family members are claiming now that he was given the COVID vaccine, and that's what killed him. But it was probably a life spent abusing cocaine that got DMX killed there, rather than the COVID vaccine. Although, why would a 50-year-old relatively healthy person get the vaccine? That's what I don't really understand. I met a colleague earlier, I guess this past week. Her 19-year-old daughter went and got vaccinated. And I'm thinking, and I didn't want to say anything, obviously, because, you know, it's your own. I suppose if you want the vaccine, you have every right to get it. But who in their right mind would want an experimental vaccine if it's got no chance of killing you or putting you in the hospital? It really does demonstrate the level of fear that people like Rochelle Walensky successfully achieved in implanting into the minds of the hapless masses. They're terrified. The hapless masses are terrified. And they're willing to go get an experimental vaccine for fear of, I guess, even getting the sniffles. But wait a second here, folks. Hold on. Let me try to find a story here. Because I generally don't even want to talk about COVID, but I'm going to talk about it real quick here. From the Tell It to the Marines file. Yeah, that's right. I said the Tell It to the Marines file. Go look it up, kids. Over half of the Marines on Camp Lejeune have declined to take the COVID vaccine. That's right. They've been offered it. And more than half of them at Camp Lejeune, almost 60% of the Marines at Camp Lejeune have said, nah, no thank you, I'd rather not. And about 40% of Marines worldwide have declined to take the vaccine. That's right. Now, why do you think that is? I'll get to that. But first, let's go to the Marine Corps spokesman, Kelly. I'm sorry, spokeswoman, Kelly. Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm a warfighter. She was asked, why are the Marines declining the vaccine? And she said, well, we fully understand that acceptance of the COVID-19 vaccine provides us with the best means to defeat the pandemic. And the key is building vaccine confidence among the warfighters. That's Marine Corps spokeswoman Kelly, Colonel Kelly, by the way, who says that... the vaccine is the best means to defeat the pandemic. So she's interested in building vaccine confidence, is what she's interested in. Well, you know what? By the way, you would think that the Marines would have no choice, right? That they would have to take this vaccine, because I remember when I went in the service, they just grabbed you and stuck like 50 needles into you. And they gave you every vaccine that was ever known to man. All at once, your shoulders swelled up. You were sore for a week. I remember. They didn't even ask you or tell you. They just injected you. But it turns out that the three COVID vaccines are not FDA approved. So a military member cannot refuse an order to take an FDA approved vaccine. But these vaccines are not FDA approved. They're being distributed under an emergency use authorization. And so, as an experimental drug, the Pentagon cannot require military service members to get them. So for all of you people out there who are hysterically scared and panicked about catching this cold, Keep in mind that these are experimental drugs. We have no idea. I mean, we have some idea, but I mean, long term, we really don't know. And so are you that hysterically scared that you're going to go get an experimental vaccine? I can't comprehend it. But you know who can comprehend it? The average redneck who joins the Marines from out in the sticks, right? The dummies, the people who, and I say that sarcastically, but these are the people that folks like Rochelle Walensky view as the average moron. The average moron out there from Hayseed, South Carolina, who joins the Marine Corps, he's not dumb enough to go get an experimental vaccine. There's still a few people apparently joining the Marine Corps who aren't so scared that they're willing to let people inject experimental drugs in them for fear of catching a cold. And thank heavens we still have a few of them going into the Marine Corps. Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back, leathernecks and devil dogs from around the country. Hoorah, Semper Fi, and all that. Yes, all right, I don't want to make fun of, you know what, I realize now why I've lost such a massive amount of my audience, is that I've offended all the people who were terrified and fearful and wet their pants, and you know what, I don't care. I don't want you listening, frankly. Go, until you're willing to come to your senses. All right, I'll leave all that alone. So I'm at the donut shop. I and my extremely attractive audio engineer, after logging our BMI, decided that we would indulge in a trip to the donut shop. So we went to a brick-and-mortar freestanding donut shop where you order... You stand outside, and you order your donuts through a window. So we're standing in line at the donut shop because donut shops often have a line. Because why? Because donuts are good. And so people are willing to stand in line, even in the hot sun or the freezing cold, to get a donut. So we're standing in line at the donut shop, and we became somewhat separated as I was distracted by foliage and wildlife that was occurring across the street, so I was looking that way while my extremely attractive audio engineer was ogling the donuts through the window at the donut shop. Ogling. Uh-huh. And so we became somewhat separated. I became somewhat distracted. I was looking away. She was looking through the window when a couple of 5 foot, five-ish, 350-poundish women came up behind my extremely attractive audio engineer, and one of the women started sarcastically reading the warning sign that was attached to the donut shop that said, she said, "Look, Carol, they're really strict here. They say you will not be served unless you're wearing a mask." While they're looking at my extremely attractive audio engineer, because she was not wearing a mask, by the way. And so the 5 foot five-ish, 350-poundish women didn't realize that my extremely attractive audio engineer was with me. They thought she was alone. And so they were basically lording it over her to put on a mask. And my extremely attractive audio engineer didn't even realize she was so mesmerized by the donuts that she didn't even realize she was being baited by these two women in line. She didn't even realize, but I realized immediately. And so I stepped close to the offending parties, And I said, ladies, we are neither stupid nor cowardly, so we don't wear the mask unless we're forced to by stupid, cowardly people. And you could see the blood drain from this lady's face because she didn't realize that. Anyway, we went to the window and we ordered our donuts. We got our donuts. And then as we walked away, I told the two 5'5"-ish, 350-pound-ish lesbians. Alleged lesbians. I don't know. You don't know. They looked like they could have been. Whatever. All right. I don't want to cast aspersions where they're not due. But you're not going to argue with the 5'5", 350-pound-ish, are you? Stand in line at the donut shop, by the way.
I would argue after the donut. I can whip
them. Anyway, I told the ladies, don't go to that window. It's infected now. And then we went to our car. Ate one of the... Oh, yeah. Well, then from there, we go to the clothing store where we're ambling through the clothing store without a mask because we just don't put a mask on unless we're forced to by stupid, cowardly people, which is all the time. So I'm approached by a 5'4"-ish, 350-pound-ish woman. She's wearing... girl. This girl couldn't have been more than 20 years old. She was bigger than both of the ones at the donut shop put together. And not that I have anything against anyone who's a little overweight. Believe me, we all carry a few extra pounds. That's not... But why is it that I'm always being harassed about the mask by people who... So this woman, she looks like 800 pounds of potatoes in a 400-pound bag, spandex pants, a spandex shirt with her gut actually hanging out under the shirt. I mean, the skin, the flesh is visible. How do you go out in public like that? It's got no shame, for crying out loud. Anyway, I'm just standing there. I'm looking because I'm at the clothing store. I got my socks in about a minute and a half. Meanwhile, the women in the family, they're all over the store. I have no idea where they are. So I'm standing waiting to get into the extremely long checkout line, and I hear, sir, your mask. And so I just ignored her at first, pretended I was deaf. Sir, your mask? And so I looked at her, and she's got with the eyebrows that look like electrical tape, and the makeup, it looks like she just planted her face into a large dish of multicolored powder. Sir, your mask? I said, what about my mask? Oh, that's right, because I had been forced to put on the mask at the store, at the entrance, they had a mask policewoman. I walked through the door and she says, sir, do you have a mask on? And I said, no, I don't. Obviously, I don't. Could you put it on? So I put it on. I got it like on my chin. And it, by the way, it has the word tyranny pasted to it. And I'm waiting to check out. And the 5'4"-ish, 385-pound-ish sack of potatoes. Sir, your mask? What about my mask? Could you pull it up over your nose? She actually asked me to pull it up over my nose. I said, no, I will not. And she, well, fine. When you get COVID, don't call me and complain. She actually said that as she stomps away, measurable on the Richter scale as she stomps away. And she storms up to her boyfriend, who's two people in front of me in line. And he's a sad sack. I mean, this kid is just a... Whatever. I got nothing against the poor guy. But you can see that she's just... This guy said this, and he liked it. Can you believe he would put up over his nose? Anyway, the boyfriend is just will not, doesn't move, doesn't register, doesn't move his head, never makes eye contact with me. And he's just like, you know what, sweetie? Could you just shut up? Just stop it. Wait a second. Do you want me to say something or the relationship's over? He thinks maybe this is his opportunity. He's ready to bolt for the door. No, it's okay, sweetie. You and I'll be together forever. Anyway, poor guy. So that was, a lot of people, they go out to make memories during the day. They go out. We used to just all go out to make memories. Now, I and my extremely attractive audio engineer, we just go out to make material for the show. It just, you can make material for the show all day. Just go out without a mask and you'll find material left and right. All right. So that's it. So a note to people who are mask Nazis. If you're more than 200 pounds overweight, you might want to take the occasion of seeing someone without a mask. Instead of using that as your opportunity to lord it over them and demand that they wear a mask, you might want to think about maybe mixing in a salad or dropping 150 or 180 pounds before you start haranguing on someone about not wearing a mask. Because the only reason you're so paranoid is because you're so morbidly obese that COVID could actually kill you. All right. So there, I got off on COVID and I didn't even want to. That was more than half of the Marines say, "Niet, no thank you." Thank you very much. And now we'll go to the real science files for some actual good news. And it's good news involving a virus, a cold virus. Good news involving a coronavirus, only here on the Weekly Worldview. Out of New York, doctors at NYU say a new virus therapy is offering hope to cancer patients for whom surgery is not an option. What are they doing? They take a coronavirus, they take a coronavirus and they combine it with an immunotherapy drug to infect and kill cancer cells. So there, take that, all you hysterics freaking out about a coronavirus. This coronavirus is being used in experiments to prove oncolytic viruses can actually boost existing cancer therapies. That's right. Now, this is studyfinds.org, which I believe I've referred to this website before. Anyway, the author of the article writes, 36 men and women participated in the clinical trial. They could have just said 36 people participated in the trial, but for some reason, the author at studyfinds.org insisted on using extra words that were not necessary. And here's the thing. Nobody knows how to write anymore. I shouldn't say nobody. That's a hyperbole. But it's as if nobody knows how to write anymore. Barely anybody knows how to read anymore, and almost nobody knows how to write. One of the rules of good writing is don't use extra words. If you can say in one word what you were going to say in three, that's better writing. Anyway, 36 people participated in the trial. 8 went into complete cancer remission with no signs of cancer. That's impressive. Tumors shrank in 47% of the patients. 13 experienced serious immune reactions, bad side effects. So about a third had some bad side effects. A third went into complete remission. And about half experienced some bad side effects. Anyway, it's what all that points to in clinical research is promising, possibilities. Anyway, that's the real science file. That's the reality of what someday, ladies and gentlemen, if we ever stop obsessing over this one particular virus that everybody's completely and utterly obsessed with, someday we'll return to real science and we'll cure cancer, for crying out loud. Someday. Maybe, but maybe not. Because it could be the end of Western civilization. How do I know that? From the politics file, Asa Hutchinson, a Republican, vetoed a bill that would have banned doctors from performing gender transition surgery and offering puberty-blocking hormones to minors. Yeah. The bill. He said, now why did Asa Hutchinson, Republican, veto this bill that would ban doctors from mutilating and chemically castrating teenagers? Because he worships at the altar of small government. That's why. He said this bill would put the state as the definitive oracle of medical care, overriding parents and healthcare experts. Unquote. It would put the state as the definitive oracle. We can't have that. Hey, guess what, Asa? When people want to do insane, stupid, suicidal things, we kind of need the state to step in. I mean, there's a difference, Asa. And if you can't recognize where we need the state and where we don't, then you're not qualified to be in office. And when people want to mutilate and chemically castrate teenagers, that's when we need the state to step in. To stop people from being insane and criminal. But Asa doesn't recognize any of that because he's a moron. Listen to what he said. The state should not presume to jump in the middle of every medical issue. This is vast government overreach, said the stupid hick moron, Asa Hutchinson, who doesn't recognize where the state's authority is appropriate and where it is not, proving that he is not qualified for public office like virtually every governing official in the land. They should all be rounded up, bundled together, and cast into the sea. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back, folks. Thank you for sticking with us, and hopefully I haven't offended you, or if I have, well, I don't know. Look in the mirror, or maybe it's me. That's what the guy at the clothing store wanted to say. It's not you. It's me. I just want out. But he's not going to get out. That poor guy. Anyway, one more thing on the Arkansas transgender freak of nature idiot governor story. The General Assembly then overrode Asa Hutchinson's veto in another random act in a mindless system. A mindless system of self-government inevitably plummeting into self-indulgence and eventually self-harm and eventually civilizational suicide, which is where we are headed as a nation. We've plummeted over the edge into suicidal behavior at a governmental level. And I'm not going, that's all. I'm not going. You can go if you want. I'm not going. I'm not going without a fight. Anyway, not unlike Pastor Artur Pawlowski. I want to thank Bob Enyart and his guest this past week on the radio show. Great interview with a Polish guy whose family fled Poland and communism and everything that we're plummeting into right now. Bob's guest and his family, they escaped, and I can't remember his name, but he helped me with how to pronounce Pastor Artur Pawlowski's name. Artur Pawlowski is the doctor who last week we quoted as telling the Nazi stormtroopers to get out of his church. The inspirational. Anyway, this poor guy, Artur Pawlowski, has been harassed by authorities there in Canada. COVID Nazis. He's been harassed for 13 months. And he had some words for the Nazi socialist bastards who he threw out of his church last week. I'm surprised the guy's not in a gulag already. This is from the God-fearing Patriot file, even. Pastor Pawlowski says that if they want to talk or inspect the church building, they can call me and we can make arrangements. But instead of that, he says they prefer a method of storming They storm into his church during service to see if he's going along with their insane, maniacal orders regarding a virus that barely kills anybody that other viruses doesn't already kill. By the way, bunch of hysterical children. So they prefer to storm in. He says they just wanted to walk in the middle of worship, and he's not going to stand for it. That's all. He's not going without a fight. The police there in Calgary wrote up their report on their encounter with Mr. Pawlowski. They said the organizer of the gathering at the church was uncooperative, and he repeatedly raised his voice. He ordered us to leave the premises, which we did, approximately 1 minute after we entered, in a peaceful manner. Anyway, so they write up their report on, it just all sissified and wussified, but you wait. When the stormtroopers put their boots on, they're not going to act like a bunch of scared women writing up a police report. When they drag doctor, I'm not doctor, I'm sorry, I don't mean to insult the pastor. By associating him with a higher degree program. This guy's a pastor. He's not. Anyway, when they come to drag off Pastor Pawlowski to the gulag, they're not going to write up a report on how peaceful they were. So, anyway, get ready for all that. From the widespread tyranny file, a church in Alberta, Canada, has been shut down for running afoul of coronavirus rules. Grace Life Church has been ordered to stay closed until they can provide proof that they will comply with the orders. You must comply with the orders of the health restriction. Provide proof. So this church was closed. A chain link fence was put up around it so high that you can't jump over it. The church, the pastor, James Coates, has spent a total of a month behind bars in jail. He's been accused of dismissing public health warnings for months, and apparently accurately accused, because he says, yes, he was charged back in February for violating coronavirus public health orders and thrown in jail. Churches in the region where Pastor Coates was operating his church are allowed to open at 15% capacity with social distancing and masks. And oddly enough, 15% capacity is about average for Canadian churches, even before COVID. Meanwhile, mosques and discos are closer to 100% capacity, but the churches are... Anyway, God bless Pastor Pawlowski and... Pastor James Coates for resisting and standing up and saying, look, we're not going to allow you to commit civilizational suicide without at least us standing up and saying, stop, we're not going. We're not going along. Meanwhile, from the widespread panic file, we have a headline, one of the most shameful headlines in the history of headlines. And it appeared across various platforms last week. Double mutant coronavirus variant. Double mutant. Ah! This one I grabbed from Breitbart, but you could have grabbed it from anywhere. And just the headline is all that the ever-present forces of darkness want. Because if you read the text of the story, well, let's just read a little bit. There's a double mutant coronavirus variant that's just been identified. It's terrifying. We're horrifying. Scary. Researchers do not know if the variant is more transmissible. Researchers do not know if the vaccine is effective against it. There have been no transmission studies to date to back up any theories about the double mutant virus franchise variant. If you read the text of the article, we don't know much about it at all. And we don't know if there's anything to be scared of, but the headline screamed at the double mutant coronavirus variant. Go get your vaccine. So the headline's out there, and that's all the ever-present forces of darkness wanted was the headline about the double mutant coronavirus variant. Why is it a double mutant variant? Well, read the article and you can find out. It's not really a double mutant anything. I mean, unless you want to be really creative and create headlines that create hysterical screams from... unless you're Rochelle there. What was her name? Rochelle Walensky? Did she write the headline? You go into the doctor. What do you think I got, doctor? I think it's a double mutant variant. Oh, God, be scared. Anyway, there's the headlines out there. And so just to keep you panicked and in fear. By the way, the vaccine against the coronavirus, I always said it's not possible. And we're going to find out that it's not. I mean, it might be somewhat effective against this particular virus at this particular time, but it's not going to be very effective for long. So all you people out there getting your vaccine, okay, God bless you. That's all I want to say is God bless you. God bless you. Okay, meanwhile, from the dystopian hellscape file, students who return to in-person learning, that's another new phrase. We used to just call it school, but now it's called in-person learning. It's different, you know? It's a little scary, you know, in person and all, with all those infectious bags of germs all around us. You know, I see the kids, folks. This is very disturbing to me. The children. The children in the masks. I'm telling you, this is... This will go down as the greatest episode of mass child abuse in the history of civilization. Children being taught to instinctively mistrust and be suspicious and be repulsed by other people. That's going to be their instinctive first order of thought, is suspicion and mistrust and revulsion. And when you raise a generation with those three, it's a recipe for mass murder and world war. That's all. And that's where we're headed, folks. That's where we're headed. I'm telling you. Terrifying. So anyway, students who return to in-person learning in Seattle public schools were greeted with homeless encampments on the grounds of their school campuses and needle exchange vans, along with dead rats tied to sticks. The dead rats tied to sticks, I haven't quite figured that out yet. But apparently that type of thing happens in and around needle exchange vans and homeless encampments, is the rats tied to sticks thing. It's some sort of... Seattle Public School officials and school board members have demanded that the encampments remain. Now, I know you were expecting me to say that they want this all cleaned up, but no, they want the encampments to remain because they're mentally deranged, suicidal members of the ruling left. City officials there in Seattle and school board members have declined to meet with the groups of neighbors and parents and employees who are seeking some sort of relief from the homeless encampments on the grounds of the school. Meanwhile, the school board president, Chandra... and her assistant, the director, Zach and Chandra, published a joint statement condemning any potential removal of the homeless encampments from the campuses where they're returning to in-person learning. The school board president and director said, "We demand that sweeps never be performed on school grounds." A sweep is when you clear out the homeless. They said never. Seattle police have apparently opted to provide on-campus security rather than remove the encampments. In June of 2020, Seattle Public Schools suspended their partnership with the Seattle police. And oddly enough, in July, homeless started camping there because they kicked out the police. And, well, that's... So this should be a note to self for America. This is what's coming. This dystopian hellscape is going to be a reality. If the ruling left have their way, it'll be a reality in every neighborhood in America except theirs. Except for their well-heeled gated communities in Topanga Canyon and other places, overrun with pale witches and queers, but with a gate and a fence and all of that. That's what's coming to a neighborhood near you. And then now we go to the widespread cowardice file. So down in the Caribbean island of St. Vincent, by the way, the poorest, I believe at one time, St. Vincent qualified as the poorest nation in the Caribbean, even pushing out, what's the other hellhole there in the Caribbean? On the other side, there's two Dominican republics on one side, Haiti. So St. Vincent even beat out Haiti for the poorest place in the Caribbean. Down there, the La Soufriere volcano erupted, exploded last week. And so residents are trying to evacuate. But the neighboring islands of Barbados, Grenada, Antigua, and St. Lucia say they will only accept fully vaccinated refugees. Everyone else can stay on St. Vincent and burn to death in the lava. Because their neighbors are scared and cowardly. So you have the existential threat of a violent volcanic eruption burning everyone to death. And for fear of a cold virus, you leave your neighbors to burn and die. That's where we are. Cruise ships have volunteered to transport refugees, but only if they're vaccinated. Wow. Otherwise, just die and burn in the lava, neighbor. Welcome to civilization, circa 2021. Welcome to the society created by the hysterics like Rochelle, who were allowed to build the hysterical narrative from the very beginning. Welcome. This is what neighborliness is now. When the children are afraid of each other, and the neighbors are willing to let each other die in a pool of flaming lava. I'm sorry, folks. We can't carry on like this. Something's got to give. In the midst of all this, thank you, Rochelle. We really appreciate all of that. Thanks for the brave new world that you've given us. In the midst of all that, GOP governors, GOP, the grand old party, the Republicans are taking a stand against vaccine passports. No, 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 they say. The government, we are not going to allow the government. Yeah, it doesn't matter what the Republicans will use this as grist for their political mill in order to raise money amongst the gullible evangelicals and the moronic Republicans out there. But it's not going to matter what the government says about the vaccine passports, because the people and private industry are going to do the vaccine passports. The government's not going to have to do it. And when the private industry and the people do it, the Republican governors are going to go along, because that's the will of the people, by golly. And we don't want government overreach if that's what the people want. If they want to build a society where everyone's afraid of each other and ends up slaughtering one another, well, that's the will of the people. We don't want to overreach, get involved in any of that. All right. Do I want to do this ISIS story? So the current head of ISIS, Amir Mahmoud Saeed Abdal Rahman al-Malwa, I may have mispronounced one or more of those, he's the current head of ISIS. He's the self-declared head of the Islamic State. He was formerly detained in Iraq by the U.S. military. And he was a cooperative, I guess, what do you call him? He was a prisoner who was cooperative, and he even gave information on the group's second-in-command to our military, and then he was released. So we had him in custody, and we let him go. And now he's the head of ISIS. And look at all the wars we've won since we let the queers in. It's been great. It's been a fantastic experiment in military efficacy and unit cohesion. All right, that's it, folks, for the Weekly Worldview. We are optimistic about life after death. Here on this planet, it could get pretty rough. But we want to thank you all for being here. And I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and American Right to Life and the Personhood Alliance and my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studio, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.